Welcome to a new week of morning shows. We kick it off with a conversation today. In the studio with us, it's Mayor Todd Coppernall from the city of Richland Center. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, Phil, thanks for having me back on.
You bet. Last hour, we had a trivia question about Mayor Quimby from The Simpsons, and I said there were no parallels between none. You and Mayor Quimby.
Zero. Thank you for pointing that out.
Did you have a good holiday?
I did. How about you?
Yeah, we had a great one, and beautiful rotary lights in the park this year.
Yeah, every year, people say the same thing. Man, it's better than ever, and it was again. Just a terrific display. You drive through, and always so many enthusiastic volunteers working out there in the cold weather, and it takes that too. And then you drive through the light display, and it's always better than last year, and people always say, man, how much more can they fit in here? And then every year somehow there's more in there. So great experience, and that's really become a draw for our community. We get people from all over Southwest Wisconsin, and that's kind of fun to see too.
I think they had a good turnout to take everything down, because that's what we don't realize is, you know, a lot of work to put it up and take it down, and we get to enjoy it. But it sounds like everything's back where it's supposed to be now.
Yeah, and that's a really great point. It really does. It is it's a group effort, a large group effort, because you're right. I mean, everybody's there for the good time, but then you got to remember to put the stuff away and clean up, and you don't always get the volunteers for that part. I know in the days when Star Spangled went on, sometimes they fought that too. You know, thanks for helping us set up and enjoy the show, but hey, don't go home. There's things to put away.
That was usually in a muddy field and things like that too. After
exactly.
It was all done.
Exactly.
Last time you were on, we talked about another win for the city, the Panorama Estates. Is everything going well with that?
Yeah, it's going great. Big win for Richland Center. The document's been signed now by myself, the city administrator, and Mr. Dwayne Kleinsasser, who is the primary builder on this. And what the original agreement had called for, I'll back up a little bit. This has been a long-standing project. The idea came to light when Paul Corcoran was mayor, and then the documents were signed, and the first building was built when Mike Kaufman was mayor, and then Mr. Kleinsasser had intended to have the second building of, I believe it'll be 46 apartments. Should have been renting about a year and a half ago, according to the terms of the original agreement. However, when building costs spiked, which they certainly did, everybody knows that, everything, the inflation that hit everything, hit that industry too, the cost of materials, the cost of labor, and then, of course, interest rates ran up too. It just got cost prohibitive to build. You couldn't put the money together to make that happen, so it got delayed, which caused a lot of frustration for everyone involved, but we stayed with it, and now we've got an amended agreement that I honestly feel is better for the city than the first one was in the first place, and the primary reason for that is instead of building a building now and then another one several years later, the group will build two buildings at the same time, and they'll break ground in June. And these will be a total of 92 units, 46 per building. And I'm not sure there's ever been an apartment project of that size in Richland Center's history. And when you add in the 45 apartments that are already there, I'm certain there's never been a project like that in this city's history. So much needed housing, a big boost for the tax base, of course, to get two big new buildings put in. And we all feel, myself, City Council, Economic Development Director Jason Glassbrenner, City Administrator Ashley Oliphant, the folks at Utilities, and the folks that reviewed the numbers for us at Ehlers, they're the ones who review the money for the city every time. I really feel like the taxpayers are well represented and protected. This will not cause an increase in property taxes to get it built, and this will bring a boost to the tax base, and more immediate than that, much needed housing to the community. So we're all excited, and I'm grateful to a long list of people that had to stay with. This was a hang with them. It wasn't easy, because when it was delayed, of course, the city's invested in that project per the terms of the initial agreement and had paid to put infrastructure in the ground and things like that. And as the years go by and that second building's not there, you're going to get some criticism, but fully justified. Where's that building and what are you doing about it? Well, we never stopped working on it. But it just, anybody who sees how much it costs to buy groceries or anything else that says, man, that's a lot more money than it was 5 years ago. Imagine trying to build great, big, nice, new apartment buildings with the change in the prices. So we just had to work through it. So at this point, that's three mayors, three city councils, three plan commissions, utility commission and utility employees, city employees, on down the list. It's a long list of people that have worked on this. And here we are. And so I think a lot of people are feeling good about having gotten this far with the project.
Will the new apartments be similar or basically the same as the one that currently exists?
Yeah, so I'm told some slight upgrades from building one, but I don't have a lot of detail yet on what that means other than to say a very nice, again, with the underground parking again, and all new everything. They're brand new buildings going up, so they should be an excellent place to live.
The next thing will be getting people to move in. I presume there must be a waiting list or people, you know, interested for the next ones.
Yeah, and we went through this with the builder several times. Do you have the demand? And really, the way this is structured, that's theirs to deal with because the city, it's their investment. It's not the city's. They're putting the money up to build these buildings. If there's any issues like that, it'll be a lot more of a headache for them than for us. But they tell us that they're very confident that they'll fill those apartments. And so they're the one, they made the choice. It was their choice. In fact, they insisted that they wouldn't proceed without doing both buildings at the same time. Economies of scale, what it costs to move heavy equipment, what the price breaks you get when you buy more materials and more appliances at once and things like that. It doesn't make sense for them to do one, send everybody home, come back and do one. So at their insistence, both buildings at the same time, and I really don't think people would make an investment anywhere near that size if they didn't believe they'd fill those apartments.
They use the same driveway then?
Yeah, yep. See, that street was put in. So when the project began, the DOT said you need a turning lane, and that's there. And then the street was put in with curb and gutter to get up the hill to the original building. And those other two buildings, there will be one as you go up the hill, one on the left further down the hill from the first building, and one on the right, using that same street coming off 14 to access those buildings.
Okay. So we look forward to that. What about groundbreaking?
June. June. Okay. The document states that groundbreaking construction will begin no later than June 15th of this year.
Okay. Yeah. That's exciting news.
Yes, it is.
Well, recently, I know you're working hard on the city budget and getting everything there. How's that going?
Every year, yeah. Ask anybody that's ever been mayor or an older person or worked in the clerk treasurer's office or served as a department head and now our administrator, Ashley. It's a heck of an undertaking every year. I mean, this year's budget broke $10 million, and that's not our money, right? This is where people need to pay attention to how important those eight older person seats are. They just get glossed over a lot, and I don't understand why. Eight people vote on things that big. Where do we spend $10 million? Think about that. That's our money, yours, mine, everybody that's paying their property taxes. It's state aid getting allocated. The huge decision every year, what do you pay for and what do you not? And the administrator works with the department heads. She confers with me along the process, but putting an administrator in changed this from the mayor was much more deeply involved with the budget before that. I still am involved, but now it's the administrator working with the department heads and formulating the budget, which then comes through the finance committee and on to the council for approval. It's a huge undertaking. It's critically important, but after all the work, the eight older persons are the ones who vote yes or no. Probably the best example, I could give you 50 more, of why it's time, way past time, for a lot more people to pay attention to the impact those older persons have and to the necessity to make sure there are, you know, to get out there and run. They have quality candidates. The same thing at the county, same thing at the schools, school board, county board, intensely important positions that kind of can get sort of assumed and left in the background. They're not the mayor. They're not the school administrator, you know, the county board chair. They don't have a title like that. But I don't vote. At the city, the mayor only votes in the case of a tie vote by the council. So those eight people have these decisions in their hand. Yes, they could vote in a tie in my time down there, which is gaining on 5 years. That's not happened. So it's been the eight that we're serving. And thankfully, we've got people who take this role very seriously. What I'm trying to do is engage more of our people in the process and get them interested in how that works, so that you might understand why some decisions got made before you read about it on Facebook, which is, by the way, not a credible news source. Thank you.
Yeah, in terms of that, you know, we're looking at candidacy for the next election as well, aren't we?
Yeah, we're there. It's there. I got to look today or tomorrow. I think tomorrow is the last day to turn in papers to be on the ballot. So about a month now, as there is every time. There's been an opportunity for people who live in the city to run for office if they want to, for city council. And every year, every single year, one half of the seats on the council, four of them are up for election. And this year, three of the four incumbents ran. To my knowledge, nobody is challenging any of them. Could be somebody's about to do that, and I haven't heard it. But Karen Tepley in District 1 is seeking re-election. Melanie Walters in District 3 and Steve Downs in District 4. And unless I simply just haven't been told yet, there's not an opponent for any of the three. District 2, the incumbent is Mark Chambers, who opted not to seek re-election. And just a week ago today, Rachel Schultz pulled papers. Former school district administrator Rachel Schultz, who is going to run. And she actually overheard me in a phone conversation with her husband, Dale. And Dale was asking me about candidates, and she just overheard it and called me Monday afternoon and said, I'm coming down to pull papers in the clerk's office. And she said, my husband's going to think I'm crazy. He doesn't know this yet. And I got a kick out of that. I got to talk to Dale about that. As we know, former state senator and long-term politician that he is. Now his wife's on a ballot. I got to see how he feels about that.
Well, we of course just went through the major election in November, and you know, you talk about the difference you can make. You know, every vote is important, but I think even more so when we're talking about local candidates.
Well, it is, because we, you know, the federal government obviously will always face budget issues. It's crazy where that has gone. I think anybody would say that, no matter your political stripes. And of course, the state level too, you got to get things done and balance the books at the same time. But that really gets magnified when your entire tax base is comprised of 5,100 people. An expensive mistake could be absolutely catastrophic, right? Missed opportunities are very damaging too. But then, you know, so people will say, hey, mayor, why don't you go get one of these? Or how come we don't have one of those? And the answer, what if I said to you, all right, we'll just borrow $500,000, put that on the tax roll. That means your property taxes would have a great big jump. All of a sudden, the conversation changes. Well, don't do that. Exactly. So do this, but don't do that is just the life of the elected officials. And it's always do your diligence, work as hard as you can, find the best opportunities, get them here, and always think about those taxpayers, which, by the way, a lot of folks in the city got a slight tax decrease this year. When you remember, when you read your property tax bill, to really read it, you're paying the city, the county, the school district, and Southwest Tech. Remember that. And understand when I say that, the largest percentage of your property taxes at this point are supporting the Richland School District. Okay, which is fine. That's not, I'm just letting you know, because a lot of people really don't read this part of their bill. And between the entities this year, enough of them were able to cut taxes just a little bit that the overall impact was a slight decrease. And I think everybody, all of us, city, county, schools, Southwest Tech, everybody feels good about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that doesn't happen so much.
It's hard to do. I mean, like I just said a few times, the run up in inflation, everything costs the city and the county and the schools a lot more money too. So you're trying to be as efficient as you can, look for places to cut costs when you can without hurting anything. And it's always, man, it's frustrating sometimes. I don't want to do this. Well, okay, we're going to go this way because this is the best way. Some people will like it, some people won't. And this year, it came out pretty favorable for the taxpayer.
What about city police? That new year underway, the 2 years that you signed the budget for that?
Yeah, brand new 2-year police contract. I was a big part of negotiating the prior two. And this year, I wasn't directly involved. Our city administrator handled that. That's part of that job. And that's fine. And she did a good job. She did talk to me a few times along the way, as did Billy Jones, just sharing their opinions of how things were going along. And, you know, it's a give and take. It's a negotiation, and it's such a weird thing because everybody involved, mayor, council, administrator, city attorney, everybody involved, we fully respect law enforcement and the critical nature of what they do. I can't imagine living in a place that didn't have police. I'm like, wow. And these, plus we know them. It's a small town. So, you know, you can't just say, tell me what you want, you can have it. You can't do that because you have budget limitations and you have to think about the taxpayer. But at the same time, you don't want to overstate that side and offend the people you absolutely have to have. So it's a delicate balance. But to I guess I want to give credit to our police, all of them, and to our administrator, our city attorney, then on down the line to the city council and so on, for doing well and for remaining civil and doing the give and take that it took and getting an agreement that worked for the city and for the police union. And remember when I say that, Act 10 removed labor unions from municipal employees with the exception of police. They still have their union. So it's still collective bargaining with that union. And in this case, last time they did a 3-year contract. This time it's a 2. And the process is, you know, sort of comparing what we're paying versus neighboring cities of similar size, similar budgets, you know, trying to be fair to everybody without getting too far ahead or behind. Just, you know, do your homework and do the best you can. And that's what we did. And everybody's seems to be happy with the deal, which is now in place.
Mm-hmm. Can't pay them enough. It seems,
no.
Right?
See, if honestly, think about it. So police, fire, paramedics, if you really paid these people what they're worth in your life,
right,
it would bankrupt the city. But boy, I'll tell you what, they're worth it. I mean, what would you do? Who do you call? If not police, fire, ambulance, who would you call in an emergency? It doesn't even have to be critical. But what if you just need help?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just something going on. Who are you going to call, right? It's those people, and there they are. And it's 2 in the morning, and there they are. And it's noon, and it's holidays, and on down the list. And these people do their best for all of us all the time. So we're happy to do our best for them while we're doing our best for the taxpayers, too.
Indeed. And of course, city police help out with the county from time to time, too, if need be.
I wonder if people really realize that. There's no doubt about it. City police might end up in Boaz. They might end up in Gotham or Cazenovia. Mutual aid, they call that. It's just the same with the fire department. May end up helping with a big, you know, in Spring Green or something if needed. And yeah, city police and county police work together a lot more often than I think most of our people realize. That actually, I think, would be a fascinating topic. If you could get Billy Jones and Clay, get the sheriff and the police chief down here to talk about how all that works and how much they really do count on each other, because we're such a unique place. We're a small county in comparison to any county near us. The landmass here just doesn't match Sauk and Iowa and Grant. They're so much bigger than us, okay? And we have one city. We don't have them. Go over to Sauk County, you know, Baraboo in the Dells, Reedsburg, Sauk City, down to the village of Spring Green. We don't have that. So when there's just not going to be as many, for instance, county police, and there's not a neighboring city with its own police that you can just call. I mean, you know, you got Lone Rock, right? But you don't have a police force like, let's say, Baraboo is right down the road from Reedsburg, who both have city police and can call the county. We don't have that. So city police and county police help each other all the time here.
Mm-hmm. They do. Is the mayor immune to alternate side parking tickets? Or
The mayor typically does not park on the street because I think the police would love that. I think they would get a kick out of it. I did get a ticket when I was an older person. And I almost never park on the street, which is how it happened. I literally forgot my car at the time was in the street and just didn't move it. Got up in the morning and had a friendly reminder, which I went and paid for. And I remember Sue Hofer's reaction was kind of fun. She enjoyed taking that money, too. They would. I'm aware of a past mayor getting a parking ticket downtown while he was in office.
As it should be.
You know,
absolutely.
And that's kind of what he said, too. Well, I guess I did it.
One more from Mayor Todd Coppernall in just a moment here on today's morning show.
If you've been busy this past holiday season, then it's time to finally focus on you. And that's where Macy's comes in. Come and treat yourself to something great, like rejuvenating skincare routines from Lancome, Estee Lauder, Clinique, Shiseido, Kiehl's, and more of your favorites. With so many great deals at Macy's, you'll be able to pick up a new cleanser and a new serum and a new moisturizer now during our Deals for Great Skin event. So, what are you waiting for? Refresh your routine today at Macy's.
Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
The Richland Family Prescription Center's primary function is to fill your prescription accurately and to provide added value services to enhance your health. Filling your prescription is only the first step. Understanding your medication and the importance of compliance will greatly benefit your medication outcome. Whether it's a first-time visit or they've seen you before, the Prescription Center's friendly and knowledgeable staff is dedicated to providing you with a quality pharmacy experience, and they have built their reputation by going the extra mile to ensure your satisfaction. The Richland Family Prescription Center, your one-stop source for all of your prescription and healthcare needs. Your complete customer satisfaction is their top priority.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Consider the big picture of agriculture and the weather outlook with experts Dr. Gary Schnitke and Eric Snodgrass during Compeer Financial's free Crop Insurance Spring Update webinars. Find more details and register at compeer.com. Leave feeling empowered to build a strong risk management plan for whatever the growing season brings. Learn more and register for the January 16th and February 27th webinars at compeer.com. Have you been to agriamerica.com? What are you waiting for? One site, one app, one stop for 24-hour ag news and podcasts. Ag news from the best reporters and podcasters, plus a steady stream of country hits for free. AgriAmerica, the place for timely, accurate, and dependable ag news. From the cab to the truck, to the barn to the kitchen, AgriAmerica is ready to arm you with the knowledge you need as a farmer or rancher. Grab your smartphone and get it today. AgriAmerica.
Richland Center City Mayor Todd Coppernall, our guest on the morning show today as we begin 2025. And we've got lots of great guests that come in on a regular basis, and Mayor Todd is one of them. So good to have you in here today. I've noticed driving around the city, there are some homes for sale, and looks like some construction projects have been coming along.
There are, and actually, that's kind of a good sign. It might not seem it at first glance, but we had a real shortage of available housing for a while, like a scary shortage if somebody was trying to buy a house. You need to have some houses on the market at all times. You have to have adequate inventory, and you know they'll tell you, and we've been told at the city, you want what they consider a six-month supply on the market at all times so that there's a variety for people to choose from and so on. We simply didn't for a long time. I'm still not sure if we've reached that level, but there are a few more. And they're, you know, houses that have been here a long time and a couple of brand new ones too. And I talked to the folks that are just finishing building one down on First Street. It's right there in between Congress and Orange on First Street, and they're nearly done. And there are people looking at the house. They've been through it. I know they've got interested parties. I was just in the house with one of their contractors last week, and it's almost done, and it's really cool, by the way. It's all new, everything, and I just like how they did it. And I know there's another one on Main Street as you're leaving town and about to cross the bridge and head out to Ellis Park, another beautiful looking home that's there for sale now, brand new, if that's what you want. And then in several neighborhoods in town, you know, some older homes for sale that are real nice and different price ranges, which is what you're trying to do. So, we've got some people that have invested in building new, which that's another good thing that we hadn't always had. And then we do have some older homes for sale, too. You know, you don't want them to sit forever. That's not what you're looking for. But we needed to have more homes for sale than we were getting for a long time. And the local housing is challenged everywhere right now because again, go back to what inflation did the last few years, and then add in where interest rates had gone. They're off their peak, down some, but you know, you're still combining higher prices on the house than you would have paid in 2020, with higher interest than you would have paid in 2020. So it obviously, I'm sure, has impacted the pace that houses are selling. But talking to some local realtors, they're still getting deals done.
My first house cost $25,500.
Isn't that something?
Yeah,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is.
I remember my neighbor. She still lives on Sheldon Street. I won't say her name, but she was close friends with my mom for a long, long time. And they were driving to an event, early 80s, and I was with them in the car. And they were talking about, geez, a Cadillac is $20,000. Wow, who would ever do that, right? Well, what isn't 20? Go vehicle shopping right now.
Used.
Very.
If
it's a Cadillac, it's seriously
used. It's really used. I was going to ask you about Community Forum. We've talked a little bit about that in the past. You've had some successful ones. Will you have another one here early in the year?
Yeah, we're working on that right now. We did the first one last year. I'm actually pretty proud of that, not just myself, but the others involved. But this sort of just evolved from some informal meetings I had started at the time with Marty Brewer when he was county board chair, and then Steve Board, of course, from the Richland School District, and Aaron Unbehan from the Richland School District's school board, just sitting together talking about what's going on in town and what might be possible and what do you need. And we started to add a few more people to the group. You know, county administrator comes to some of them, city administrator comes to some of them, the Michael Wendell, who's the county and city attorney, comes to some of them. And then we got some people from the Simons Foundation involved because there have been discussions at times about the city and county already support that and have since it was built in 1987. And the school district at different times has expressed an interest in getting involved there as well. So they've been involved in it too. And last January, I believe it was last January, late January, early February, we did our first public forum. We did two, an 11 a.m. and a 6 p.m. in the banquet hall at the Phoenix Center. And we all talked about what was going on in each entity and took questions from the public. They were very well received, well attended. Everybody involved got a lot of praise for doing that. So the public had a chance to sit there and in one room ask questions of each of these entities. And I'm not going to announce a date today other than to say late January or early February. We're trying to get a date nailed down that we can announce for the next public forum of the same sort. It's just sort of an opportunity to catch the public up on what everybody's working on, ways we're trying to collaborate where we can, and then just take questions from people who have them. And I think I'm glad we're doing it. I'm glad to have been part of its inception, and I think every community should be offering that.
I know that school district referendum was a hot topic last year for one of the forums. I think the campus land for another. Yeah. Can you see anything that might be a big topic this time?
Yeah, there's I know there will be more questions to the county about the campus property. That's such a big, big issue, and it's going to take time to sort out. It's just very complex. So I'm sure the public's going to want whatever updates they can get on that. I would think we'll talk more about some of the projects the city's working on, individual houses, perhaps a housing development of that sort. I'll have to be a little guarded here, but maybe you talk a little bit about some retailers expressing interest, you know, to the degree that I can. And then I'm sure the school district, Steve Board has tried to be humble, and the last one of these meetings we did, he tried to deflect and said he didn't want the school district to maybe take the spotlight this year, but they should, because the Richland School District has a lot to talk about right now. Tremendous improvement in test scores, things like that. Just a great team effort from the staff, the faculty, the parents, and the kids, working hard to improve things out there, and the results are coming now, which is great to see. And I would hope, Steve, if you're listening to me, don't be shy. Tell the people. It's a great story. It's a feel good that's got real impact. You know, when I moved back here, people kind of talked down about the Richland School District about 8 years ago when I came back, and I was surprised. And when I asked questions, you know, I got their answers. And a lot of what I heard then, I'm not hearing anymore. And instead, I'm getting positive feedback, really enthusiastic, positive feedback. And I hope, whether it's Seaboard or Aaron on Beyond, that somebody will not be bashful when we're in front of the public and just show them. Tell them what's going on over there and tell them how. I think regardless of the topics of the day, it's just a great idea to bring everybody into one place and to give the public the opportunity to grab a microphone and ask what's on their mind. I'll just set the stage. I know I'm going to get asked this. Yes, there will be a revaluation for property tax purposes of the city of Richland Center this year. It'll be sometime in the spring. It'll start. That's mandated by state law, and mostly, at least partly, because of what the pandemic did, we're overdue to do it, as a lot of townships had been. That's why a lot of them have been doing it. Has to be done. If you don't, the state will, and then the state will send you a great big bill that costs a lot more than you could have paid to get it done. And we had to fight through COVID shutting that down, and those people couldn't come out. And then the backlog that made, because every community is under the same law, trying to hire the same providers to get there. So we've had a delay we didn't want, but that'll happen this year. I'm not going to give a speech right now on how that might affect any individual's property taxes. It's more complex than we have time for right now. I'm going to say this. If your assessment goes up, whatever, 20%, does that mean your taxes raise 20%? No, it does not. Okay, so everybody stay in your chair, feet on the ground. As we go through the process, we will provide as much information as we can as we go through it. But don't panic. Don't assume that you're going to get a big jump in your property taxes. It's possible, honestly, that some people in town will have a decrease. It's just a complex process. I'll have someone else come down and really explain that before it happens. But people need to know it is coming this year. And it's honestly, if we could have done it at any point in the last 2 or 3 years, it would have been done by now.
So how long has it been since there was a look at the evaluation?
Yeah, 2008. So okay. I don't know why, prior to the group of us that are down there now, why it wasn't done any sooner than that. I don't know why. So I won't be critical of the people who didn't do it because I don't know why they didn't. But I know in my time down there, we've struggled to get it done because of the pandemic. But then it also got louder because with the run-up in house prices, now you have a bigger issue. You've got old data in a market that's just this. You imagine what house prices, land prices were in 2008 versus today. That's why the state says you must do this, and that's why we've put a lot of effort into trying to get it, and we're there now.
I know last year there were some street projects. 8th Street, I think, comes to mind. Anything coming up in 2025?
So I've stopped calling those street projects because I realize that's a little bit of a poor title. It's an infrastructure project, and the reason I say that, it's not just pavement. It's not just curb and gutter and pavement. In the last 3 years, the last 5 years, we've more than that. Go West Side Drive, Hazeltine Street, Larson Schmidt, Jarvis, 7th Street, Cedar Street, 8th Street. Those have been infrastructure projects where, yes, new pavement, new curb and gutter, but in many cases, new storm sewers, new sewer laterals, new water pipes. You know, some lead pipes were removed. Some areas got storm sewers that never had them. Do you remember the Hazeltine River?
Mm-hmm.
It's gone. The 8th Street River was a good rival. It just doesn't get as much traffic, so most people didn't know it, but it used to pool at Park and 8th every winter, every spring, and it would be water, and every winter ice by the cemetery there, and it would end up over the curb and across the sidewalk. It was a real problem, and it ruined the pavement. The water main at the top of 8th had more than 20 clamps on it, because every winter, so you can't, how long are you going to keep pretending that's not a problem.
The city can sell some clamps now, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. We're going to have an eBay store selling clamps. Right. So we've put this is Mayor Kaufman, Mayor Corcoran, myself again, multiple city councils, West Side Drive, Hazeltine, and then on into the ones I just named that we've done. To try to catch up and try to help our people have what they deserve for infrastructure. But it's unbelievable how expensive that stuff is now. It's crazy. So for this year, we didn't put an infrastructure project of that nature in the budget. Just to kind of calm things down, we did have big price run-ups and everything we have to buy. We did need to do a new police contract. It's on and on down the list. So costs are up from where they've been. That's what happens sometimes. So to make sure that we passed a responsible budget that didn't smack our taxpayers, we just took a year off from doing an infrastructure project. Then we can look at it again for 2026. There are some other ones we'd like to do. But one thing we didn't stop doing, this started, I want to say 2019, overlays, a one-inch overlay, which is putting an inch-thick pavement. It's basically a giant patch down the street. Go out and look, go around town, out in Allison Park. Preston Drive's been done. Sunset Lane was done first. And now Hillside's been done. Out there, we did Pleasant View Court a few years ago, Industrial Drive, even the roads through the cemetery. Several city streets, whether it's a block or five blocks, where the condition of the pavement just was not acceptable anymore. But the cost, you can't believe. If you put in one block of pavement, curb, and gutter, one block long, that's almost $300,000. I mean,
incredible.
It is. Yeah. It's just crazy. So you can't just do that. You got to be really thoughtful. But you also can't leave the potholes. You have people that deserve better that live here that pay their taxes that are driving over this. So we do the overlays and try to make the streets as best we can with the money we have. And that will continue this year too. We'll have some of those done. I can't tell you yet which streets that gets decided, you know, when it gets closer to the job, which of course is done in the summertime, because you need that weather. We'll do some more. The streets as a whole, and yeah, I know, don't call me, I already know, there's several streets that need help. Don't tell me about Highway 14. I've told you several times on the air. That's the Department of Transportation, and it's budgeted for 2026. Neither the city nor the county can do that one, or we would have. But city streets are, as a whole, are in much better shape than they were 5 or 6 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago. Start with when West Side Drive got done, and come from then to now. Considerable investment and time and money to do the best we can. And we'll keep doing that. You just have to understand, it's always that tightrope. It's just nuts what infrastructure costs now. So you have to do the best you can with the budget you have, because on the left-hand side of the ledger, you got to fix the streets, and on the right-hand side, what are you going to do about the property taxes? You just always have to think about the people paying that bill, and then you do the best you can. And as a group, we've done that.
Yes, you have. You mentioned Highway 14. 2026 seemed a long ways off. I mean, I guess it kind of still is, but it's closer than it was. But me and the Vibe are bouncing along pretty happily there every morning. We're coming
to
work.
I drive to and from my day job at Vitesnik Power Sports 5 days a week, and it's not good. I know it. We know it. Everybody here knows it. And the DOT finally admitted such and said, yeah, that's got to get – because, see, they had proposed initially to do a 2-inch overlay. So I just told you we've done a lot of 1-inch overlays. Imagine – now look at the pavement right in front of WRCL, right? That whole stretch down to Walmart. I don't need to say much more. Everybody here knows. Imagine if you put 2 inches of new pavement over that broken up, smashed up concrete that's been there since 30 years ago. Since 1987, it's been there. Okay? With all that traffic, that's the heaviest traffic area in this area, and it isn't just cars and trucks. Think of all the semis, too. Lots of them, guys. How long do you think 2 inches of overlay over that base would last? Not long. Let's call it 2 or 3 years. You got a big problem again. And the way the DOT explained it to us, if they come out and fix the street, they won't touch it again for 8 years. So let's go 2 or 3 years in. You are 5 or 6 years till you can get more help from the state on the same piece of road that's falling apart again. So we pushed them over. And guys, really, don't do an overlay. Don't do an overlay. We got a couple of lectures about how we didn't know what we were talking about. And then, to their credit, and I'm giving credit sincerely here, a few employees from the DOT came out here and took a look at it and went, oh, yeah, they're right. And they were great about it then. And they said, yeah, okay, here's the thing. This is about a year and a half ago. We'll get it in 26 because that's when it can get in the budget. A lot of other things were already planned. It has been engineered. It is budgeted. There was a public hearing in town last spring, early summer, that the DOT came out and talked to the public about it. So it's going to get done, and we're as frustrated as you are, but hang in there. It's on the radar.
They'll evidently grind it right down and start anew then.
So. What they're going to do is replace that pavement. Now, that pavement, they told us, went in 87. My memory says 86, but okay. And they were asked by, I don't remember which person, it was a local resident at the public hearing, asked them how long that pavement was good for, and they said a maximum of 30 years. Now I'm going to say that one more time. They said it was placed in 1987. 87 plus 30 makes 2017. I think we just started 2025.
Uh-huh.
I think we did. So we're 8 years past maximum life expectancy now, and it's going to get done next year. So I pushed them a little bit. And then I stopped because, hey, they're going to do it. Let's be friends. It's going to happen. But that was stated by the DOT, that pavement was placed in 87 with a max life expectancy of 30 years. Okay, they're going to remove that pavement and put fresh pavement from Bowman Drive to County O. Okay, and what they'll do is they'll shut two lanes and have, you know, one way each way on one side, get two lanes done, and then flip to the other two. All right, all of the storm sewers will be upgraded, guardrails will be upgraded, traffic lights will be replaced. I asked them several times to add a set of lights, a new set of lights at the intersection by Taco Bell and Richland Square, because as we all remember back in the days when there was more traffic at that spot coming up out of that shopping center, it's dangerous. It's not fun now. Trying to turn left out of there is not a good time. And the state has said no. They will not do that because, in their words, it's not red flagged, meaning there haven't been enough accidents, enough issues. Mm. And that's how they do that. So they told me no, but they will put new lights where the lights are now at Bowman and at O, take out new pavement, new guardrails, new storm sewers. Maybe the most significant, other than fixing the pavement, the most significant upgrade, they're going to take every island out of the turning lane. There will be no islands in the turning lane, so that whole stretch will be a turning lane. So if you think about it, I'll give you an easy one. If you're in line trying to turn into the drive-in movie, that gets backed up right into the lane of traffic on a busy night. Now, because there's a lot more traffic down 14 than when it was designed in the 80s. So Phil and I are both old enough to remember Highway 14 East was a sleepy little two-lane country highway with gravel shoulders, okay? So the eastbound lanes, that's the old highway. They put in the westbound lanes when they went four lanes, and they went four lanes because Walmart was building here. So that's the era that it went four lanes. From then to now, Jones Chevrolet moved down there. Walmart built a bigger store. We got Do It Best. The credit union is out there. We got, on down the list, Culver's and McDonald's and Papa Murphy's, and keep going. Okay? More and more and more reasons to drive down that highway. So more and more vehicles, which wore that pavement out, one. But also, yeah, no kidding. You can't fit that many cars in some of those spots where there's an island in the middle. So those will go away, and I think for convenience and safety, I think that's a good move.
Yeah, it'll be 40 years old by the time it's replaced then.
Honestly, yeah. It will be, and then we go from here because, you know, at this point, what's done is done, and the point is it's going to get fixed. But just like everyone else here, I wish they had done it, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. But, hey, smile and say thank you because we need it, and it's going to happen.
All right. Mayor Todd Cappernall on the morning show. We'll have a final word from him in a moment. a final word or two from Mayor Todd Coppernall in the morning show today. You'll be the MC tonight for Partners for Prevention.
Event tonight at the Richland Center High School in the West Commons, which is, as they always tell me, the art entrance is the way they tell me which door to go into. And what this is, it's a dinner and then a presentation. And what Partners for Prevention is all about, kind of the broad view of it, is educating youth, not just youth, but that's the main focus, educating youth on the dangers of substance abuse, and not just just education, you know, how to approach these things and that they're, you know, what the impact is if you do choose this versus that. It's a great organization that's done a lot of things to help young people here and to help their parents too. You know, teenagers are what they are. Always going to be. How to help the adults deal with whatever the thing. You know, kids are dealing with vaping now, which we didn't have as kids. But we could have, if we wanted to, we could have bought cigarettes too. So, you know, just this generation. And that event is tonight. You know, if you want a dinner, I believe they said, is at 5:30. There are still open spots. If anybody would like to attend, you can do that. Again, West Commons at the high school, the art entrance is the way in. And, yep, I'll be serving as the MC, but I am that's as much credit as I deserve. A lot more people, a lot of people deserve more credit than I do, including Joanne from WRCO, Betsy Raisler, Sheila Troxel. There's a lot of them that work very hard on this stuff. And I know Jeff Behrens is heavily involved with this group too. And I think tonight, I'm sure tonight, Betsy will take a moment to thank a lot more people than I just did who deserve it. But if that has interest for you, please come and join us tonight.
Mm-hmm. It's also for parents and grandparents specifically, you know.
It really is. And that's kind of the bigger picture, the broader message is, yeah, you need to teach the kids. You sure you do. But we then remember this, they're kids. Think of yourself as a teenager. Did you ever do anything goofy?
Oh, no.
No, Phil didn't. I didn't either. We didn't. You know, Phil and I used to hang out and churn buttermilk and read the Bible and stuff when all those other kids were doing all that stuff.
The Brewer Library.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, look, whatever generation, beer, liquor, chewing tobacco, cigarettes, whatever. We talked about vaping and all kinds of other drugs, whatever. But it isn't just, you're not getting the whole thing done if you just tell the 16-year-old. You got to talk to mom and dad about what's in the community, how to help their young people understand and make good choices, what to watch for, you know, in behaviors and things like that. I think it's a really important event and a great organization. I mean, truly dedicated to helping people here become educated and work through some of this stuff out there. And let's be really honest. If you understand human nature, this will always be there. People do stuff, and young people especially. And a teenager's brain, like it or not teenagers, is still a child's brain. It just plain is. You think you're so grown up and so worldly, you won't listen to anybody, and therein lies the problem. And that's why you have to have mentors. And it's, you know, teachers, neighbors, aunts, uncles, mom and dad, grandparents, whatever, to kind of, hey, kid, let me talk to you for a minute. And I think tonight's event will help with that.
Does the Richland Center mayor make resolutions?
I don't really make resolutions.
No goals?
Not goals, definitely. I never have done what I would call a resolution. Goals, yeah. Okay, so for this year, for the city, I'll just leave it at that level. What I'm trying to do, my part in it, is continue to push hard. There's a group trying to start a housing project, which would be single-family homes. They want to do about 23 of them. It's not easy, very expensive. It's not the easiest land to use, but it's very workable. Just, it's complex. I want to stay on that. And yeah, one, two, three, four different retailers in different industries have said, what about me? Or maybe me. But, you know, again, harder than you think. It takes available land. It takes, you know, can I get my lease? Can I get my build? What's it going to cost? Actually, let me back that up. Five companies that have expressed interest. The challenge in Richland Center always is where? The buildable land, the affordable buildable land that you can get infrastructure in, because you're not going to go up over a steep hill. You can't go down where there's floodplain. It's harder than you think. So, but not impossible. It's workable, but it takes consistent effort from a lot of us. So for the city, for this year, that's where my focus will lie, is to try to get a couple of these things closed. Get them building and get them here. We've had them in my time down there. Dialysis got done. TechCom building got done. Dollar Tree built a new store. Mr. Ryan Jones, thank you again. Invested in the building that houses Dunkin', AT&T, and TriStar Gifts. All of that. We've had the last five housing lots in the Wedgwood neighborhood got filled. They'd been empty for years and years. They're not anymore. We talked earlier in the show about a couple of new houses, and here comes 92 new apartments. So there have actually been several wins in the community in recent years. But you can't look away. That you cannot ever, ever, ever look away from economic development and then call yourself a responsible elected official. Because the way state laws are written, if you don't get new buildings, you don't grow your tax base. And if you don't grow your tax base, you either go back to your people for more of their money or you start cutting their services. I'm not in favor of either one of those. I'm in favor of growth. It's not easy to get. It takes constant attention and effort, and you'll get it from me.
And you'll be in the office today taking some calls?
Yep, I will. I will. I have an early morning appointment off-site, early afternoon appointment off-site, so I'll be gone for a little while. But as soon as I leave here, I'm actually doing a conference call with a land agent that is looking for a place to build for a retailer.
Awesome.
That's the next phone call, and that's probably going to be about 20 minutes from right now. I'll be down there most of the afternoon today, late morning and most of the afternoon. And then I, again, will be at the high school tonight as MC for the event for Partners for Prevention.
Well, maybe one of these monthly visits, you'll be able to spill the beans on a retailer coming.
News. Yeah, I will. And sometimes these people that represent these businesses, you know, they give me consent, go ahead and tell the people. And other times they don't. And when they don't, it's because they don't, they're concerned about people being upset at them if it doesn't work out. That's all. They just don't want that PR hit if they try hard and just can't get the deal. So, you know, when I can, I certainly will. Nobody wants to tell you more than I do.
we want the scoop here.
Yeah, I know you. No doubt. And you'll get it as soon as you can, all right?
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it very much. Mayor Todd Coppernall from the City of Richland Center on today's morning show.